First little history lesson this morning to start with. It was on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 that the world celebrated. Why was that? Because World War I was over. And President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate Armistice Day on November 11. In 1938, the day was declared a national holiday. In 1954, the name was changed to Veterans Day in honor of all U.S. soldiers in any way. This is Veterans Day, and I'd like all that have served in our military, and as a veteran, if you would please stand, we'd like to recognize you. Let's give them a hand. It's because of you and defending our freedoms that we can gather here today and worship freely. And I honor every person that's ever served in the military, because I know that my freedoms are here because of you. Some didn't make it so they could be here because they gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could worship freely, live in a freedom country, and in the liberty that our forefathers desired that we did. Another veteran that we worship is Jesus Christ. I want to read to you coming out of Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 46. And I want to read you this story. It's kind of a reminder where we are. Starting in verse 26 of chapter 23. The story of Jesus, the King of the Cross here. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women also mourned and lamented. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves, for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bear, and breasts that never nursed.' Then they began to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. But when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself. He's the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And the inscription was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear for God, seeing you are under this condemnation? And indeed, justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' And now it's about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And when the sun was darkened and the veil in the temple was torn in two, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Talk about a veteran. Veterans give service, and veterans give sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice here that we're talking about is Jesus. You see, veterans, and I commend each one of you again, but you had a cause, and Jesus had a cause. If we look at the veterans, or the cause here, they were saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the crowd there around the cross, they taunted Jesus, save yourself. But Jesus was committed to a cause. He wanted to save the world through that cross. He had a cause. Our veterans, each one of you, have demonstrated your cause. The cause of freedom. The cause of courage. The cause of a country living in freedom. And a cause that our constitutional way of government would be sustained. I praise God for you. Jesus Christ was committed to a cause, and I even praise him higher. I'm sorry. But you had a cause and you fulfilled it. But I ask a question today. What are all of us now? What cause are we committed to? Jesus prepared the way. Our veterans protected it. But what is our cause? What is our cause? Would it be the cause of for our families to sustain them? Or what is our cause? Think about it. Why? What is your cause here in this sanctuary even? What are you really, really committed to? What cause would you really risk yourself for? You can think about that. We honor our veterans, and we certainly worship the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. I love him and you love him, and we owe our liberty to our veterans, and we owe our eternal lives to Jesus Christ because he did it all for us. You know, veterans were committed to making a change that was necessary throughout the many wars that we've been in. They were committed to making changes that were necessary to defend our freedoms and to so that we could continue a life that we come to enjoy. I want you to think about Jesus. In verses 42 and 43 that we read already, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here was two men. Each was crucified on the sides of Jesus, one on the right and one on the left. Their lives were about to end on this earth, but their eternal destinies were about to find was not going to be very nice. Though both had joined the crowds and the taunts of Jesus beforehand, one of them repented. And because he repented, because he wanted a new life, because he wanted to trust Jesus, and he had been convicted, and he asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. So it is. You know, I admire the veterans who have prepared the way for us to worship and to carry on the work of Christ. And he prepared the way for us to accomplish that. Yes, we still live in a corrupt and twisted society, and I'm the first one to agree, but who knows what powers might have dominated if it hadn't been for our veterans. And certainly, where would we be today without the cause of Jesus Christ? He came to rescue us for all time and for all eternity. And I say he rescued us because You and I, neither one knew the path. We were lost and we were destined to an eternal hell. But because he had a cause and he followed through with that cause and was willing to give of his life for all eternity, for us to have eternity. Veterans were willing to pay the ultimate price, and Jesus was too. And he gave his life and then said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus didn't shrink back whenever things got tough. Jesus didn't shrink back whenever he was to fulfill what God had called him to do, was to pay the price and to let the blood of God actually be shed for the remission of sin, which was the only way that any of us can ever be saved or ever get to heaven, is through that shedding of that blood. The death on the cross wasn't enough. It took the blood. God had already said that. Only the blood can make the atonement for our sins and our souls. And Jesus fulfilled that. And he contained the very blood of God because he was of God the Father. The scriptures tells us in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Sometimes today all we want is for someone to serve us, but that was not the teaching of Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And I think that's the ultimate example for us, is we come and we are produced to serve and not to be served. We are to give that service unto him. And Jesus makes that clear. He says in Romans chapter 5 verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the same time Christ died for the ungodly." He told us in Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." His love for us, the love that God wanted him to share for us, giving of his ultimate sacrifice for us, that we might continue to go on. You know, our veterans were willing to pay the price. They gave up their safety. They gave up their peacefulness of their home and families. They left their friends and families. They surrendered their personal plans for education or for a career. They suffered sometimes the loss of sight or perhaps the loss of limbs. Many were radically, physically disabled for life. That you and I today have the right and the obligation to serve the living God and to take his word to others that need it to be saved. It breaks my heart sometimes, literally, whenever folks won't take the responsibilities that God has given us to serve the living God. And to do it with gladness. Not with a have to, but to do it with gladness. Jesus paid in his blood for those who probably couldn't even care or still maybe don't care today. But that's what Jesus done for us. You see, he became a sacrifice for us. He became a substitute for us. He paid a price for us that we couldn't pay for ourselves. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no salvation. It took the blood to cover the sin, and sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Consequently, he with sin could not ever get to heaven. And it was only the blood of Jesus, or the blood of God himself, that came through his Son that makes the atonement for our souls, our very sins, our souls and every sin. So it's Veterans Day today that we celebrate. It becomes an opportunity for us to thank those that loved us enough to care for us, to go and to fight for our freedoms. But let us be convinced that Jesus cared also about us, but he wants us to serve him. The cross today is a monument. It's a monument that speaks to all who will hear it. And it says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what? And therefore, to anyone who is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. And that new creation is to go forth for him and to serve him. I think as we seen last week or a week or maybe 2 weeks ago, that we serve him out of want to. Our works proves our faith. But now, what kind of veteran are we going to be? What kind of veteran are we going to be? If we understand that we are just ordinary people with an extraordinary, life-changing story to share with a world that's around us, we are just normal people that were lost, that were headed to an eternal damnation. But he saved our souls. How can we not appreciate him so much now that we are reconciled to God through what he did for us? The sacrifice. You know, I'm so thankful that God made the provision that I can have peace with him. And it's the only way I can have peace with him is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. So the peace of God, I think, ought to be an incentive that you have in your heart that you want to share with others. And he calls us to share. I tell you a story about Lon Allison, who was the director of the Billy Graham Career Center for a lot of years, and a great evangelist that went where Billy Graham couldn't go for perhaps. And I learned this story whenever I was down in the evangelism crusade that he had one time down in North Carolina. But I learned this story about this director. He told a story about his oldest daughter, who was just 2 1/2, and her name was Tara. And Tara wanted to do everything on her own. And he was to go to a meeting one time, and he told how his daughter, Tara, was wanting to tie her shoes. And this was before Velcro days. And she wanted to do it on her own. And he says, honey, let me help you tie your shoe. You know, it's a tough thing to tie shoes, and let me show you, and let me just do it for you. No, I don't want no help. I can do it myself. She tried, and she tried, and she tried, and she tried. And finally she says, Daddy, I can't do it. He says, I know, honey, but I can help you. And I can do it for you. I tell you that story to say this, that a lot of people have the feeling that they can get salvation on their own. You cannot work for your salvation. You cannot be good enough to get your salvation. There's only one way you can get your salvation. We can tell you how to get that salvation, but it's only God that can save you. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. I think we got to understand that we have a responsibility to take the message and to share the message of Jesus Christ. It's been provided for us through the veterans in this country to give us the freedom to do so, and Christ has provided the way. I hope we can have conviction. And that conviction is to move out. I think we've got to point people to the life-changing, soul-changing ways of Jesus. We should be proud today, and I am proud of all of our veterans, of what they provided for us. But we've got to live by the character and reflect the character of God. And I want to tell you a story that I found that I felt just kind of opened up this character thing to us of how we've got to reflect it to others. One Sunday, As they drove home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, there's something about the pastor's message this morning that I just don't understand." And the mother said, "Okay, what's that?" The little girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the world in his hand. Is that true?" And the mother replied, "Yes, honey, that's very true. But mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us and when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too?" And again, mother assured the little girl what the pastor had said was correct. But then with a puzzled look in her face, the little girl then asked, "Well, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through us?" Think about that. If Jesus is in us, he should show through us to a world that needs him. The message is his, but the message is ours to take. I'll give you some real simple things here. We've been talking about some things on Sunday night. Some of you haven't been here, but I'm going to give you even a simpler way. I want you to think about three steps. Number one is prayer. Number two is care. And number three is share. And I want to ask you, if you go into prayer for someone that you care about, something's going to happen. Because as you pray to the Almighty God into work goes the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, to ask people to change. And as you pray, those people don't know, but God is working in their heart. And God will continue to work in their heart as you continue to pray, as you pray for your coworkers, as you pray for your children, as you pray for whomever that God has laid upon your heart that needs salvation. And as you pray, we need to care. You see, God will tangibly prepare a heart of someone for you to ultimately come to share with. And that comes your sharing. It may be the testimony. It may be your personal testimony of how God has changed your heart and how he has made a difference in your life and how your life has changed because of Christ living in you. You see, there's something we have to understand. An ambassador goes in somebody's place. We talk about the ambassadors to other countries. They go in the president's place. You, as ambassadors of Christ, go in his stead. And we are to go instead of Jesus, but he's with us. The Holy Spirit is in us to convict us and to show us and to speak through us and will and to share the opportunities that everyone has to accept Jesus Christ. I have a long story this morning that I'm going to share, but I'm going to close with this particular story, and I believe it'll have some impact, I hope. Do you believe in Easter? I want to tell you about a lady. Her name was Edith Burns, and she was a wonderful Christian out of San Antonio, Texas. And she was a patient of a doctor by the name of Will Phillips. Dr. Phillips was a gentle doctor who saw patients as people. Not many do, but he did. His favorite patient, though, was Edith Burns. And Dr. Phillips was a gentle doctor. His favorite patient was Edith Burns. One morning he came into his office and he had a heavy heart because his favorite patient, Edith Burns, was there in the office. And as he walked in to the waiting room, there was Edith with her big black Bible on her lap and was talking to one of the prospective patients in the waiting room. When he walked into the waiting room, Edith was working and one of her favorite sayings was, "Hello, my name is Edith Burns. Do you believe in Easter?" Well, that morning, she said that to the doctor's nurse who was taking this patient's blood pressure. And Edith says, "Hello, I'm Edith. Do you believe in Easter?" And the nurse, Beverly, said, "Well, yes, I do." "Well, if you believe in Easter, what do you believe about Easter?" And she says, "Well, there's Easter egg hunts and going to church and wearing pretty clothes to church and so forth." Well, Edith kept on prodding about telling her about the real meaning of Easter. And finally led her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she was saved. And Beverly went back into the office with the doctor. And the doctor then said, "Don't call Edith back yet. I think there's another patient that needs help out there in the office." Finally, it came Edith's turn, and she went into the office, and Dr. Will was sad. And she says, "Dr. Will, why are you so sad? Aren't you reading your Bible? Aren't you praying?" "Edith, I'm the doctor. You're the patient." And with a heavy heart, he said to her, "Your report came back, and it says you have cancer. And Edith, you're not going to live much longer." And Edith says, "Well, Will Phillips, shame on you. Why are you so sad? Does God make mistakes? You have just told me that I'm going to see my precious Lord. You've just told me I'm going to see my husband again and my children that passed early. And you're trying to have difficulty giving me my ticket out of here?" What a magnificent woman this Edith Burns is. Edith continued coming to Dr. Phillips. Christmas came, and the office was closed until January the 3rd. But then, one day, the office opened, and Edith didn't show up for her appointment. Later that afternoon, Edith called Dr. Phillips and said that she was going to be moving. Her new home was going to be in a hospital. And that she made a request to the doctor. She says, "Bring as many women into bed, hospital beds beside me as you can, doctor. I want to share with them the Easter story." In the hospital, everybody on the floor came to know Edith Phillips. They actually started calling her Edith Easter. That's what everyone except Phyllis Cross, the head nurse. Phyllis made it plain that she wanted nothing to do with Edith because she was a religious nut. You think about Phyllis, she was a nurse in an army hospital. She had seen it all, heard it all. She was the original G.I. Jane. She had been married 3 times. She was a hard, cold person, did everything by the book. And then there was one morning that 2 of the nurses that were supposed to be taking care of Edith were sick. And Phyllis had to go in and minister to Edith. And Phyllis, whenever she came in, Edith says, "Phyllis, God loves you and I love you and I've been praying for you." And Phyllis just went berserk. She said, "Well, you can quit praying for me. It won't work. I'm not interested." And Phyllis said, "Well, I will pray and I will have God not let me go home until you come in to the family." And Phyllis Cross, "Then you'll never die because that's never going to happen." And she curtly walked out of the room. But every day Phyllis Cross walked into the room and Edith would say, "God loves you, Phyllis, and I love you and I'm praying for you." And one day Phyllis Cross said, she was literally drawn into Edith's room like a magnet that draws iron. She sat down on the bed and Edith said, "I'm so glad that you have come because God told me that today is your special day." And Phyllis Cross said to Edith, says, "You've asked everybody here the question, do you believe in Easter? But you've never asked me." And Edith said, "Phyllis, I wanted to many times, but God told me to wait until you ask, and now you have asked. And Edith Burns took her Bible and shared with Phyllis Cross the Easter story of death, burial, and resurrection. Edith says, Phyllis, do you believe in Easter? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is alive and that he wants to live in your heart? And Phyllis says, oh yes, I want to believe that with all my heart, and I want Jesus in my life. And right there, Phyllis Cross prayed and invited Jesus Christ into her heart. For the first time, Phyllis Cross did not walk out of the hospital room, but she was carried out on the wings of angels. 2 days later, Phyllis Cross came in and Edith said, do you know what day it is? And Phyllis says, why, yes, it's Good Friday. Edith says, oh no, for you, this day is Easter. Happy Easter, Phyllis. 2 days later, on Easter Sunday, Phyllis Cross came into work, did some of her duties, and then went down to the flower shop and got Easter lilies because she wanted to go to see Edith and to give her the Easter lilies and to wish her a happy Easter. When she walked into Edith's room, though Edith was in bed, that big black Bible was on her lap. Her hands were in the Bible. There was a sweet smile on her face. And when Phyllis Cross went to pick up Edith's hand, she realized that Edith was dead. Her left hand was on John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive into you myself, that where I am, you may be also. And her right hand was on Revelation 21, 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Phyllis Cross took one look, a dead body, and lifted her face toward heaven. And with the tears streaming down her cheeks, said, happy Easter, Edith. Happy Easter. And Phyllis Cross left Edith's body and walked out of the room and went over to a table where two student nurses were sitting. And she said, my name is Phyllis Cross. Do you believe in Easter? There should be a delight in introducing Jesus Christ to those that need him. You were once looking for the food, and as a beggar, you and I all had to come to Jesus and receive that food of his word. There should be a delight in introducing Jesus and sharing your testimony with anyone that you can, anywhere you can, and however you can, to bring people to Jesus. By the power of God that's invested in you, and he says in the Great Commission, I give you all power. Before he ascended to heaven, he says, I give you all power. There is nothing that thwarts your effort to share Jesus Christ with anyone in need other than your unwillingness. Maybe today you can gain a delight in wanting to share Jesus with others. Remember, you are the ambassador with a message of Jesus Christ. And so consequently, I say this morning, hello, my name is Paul Schwab. Do you believe in Easter? And if you believe in Easter, maybe it's time that you commit yourself totally to wanting to share the message of Easter. That's our duty. That's why the greatest veteran that ever lived died for you, so that we had the opportunity to share the best story that can ever be told. And I encourage it. May we stand and pray together. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together, and I pray that we're all inspired, Lord, to take the message of you, the greatest message that can ever be told, that we'll take it and share it And as we go, before we go, that we'll be praying and praying and caring and then sharing. Inspire us, Lord. Inspire us, each one of us. We come to Jesus, come to you through Jesus, asking these things and praising you. Amen.